All right, Mike, give me your best Disney trivia question that will stump me for good.
Oh, okay. What was the third Disney animated movie?
Fantasia.
Yes. I guess I didn't stump you. Give me one. Oh, wait, it'll take you 20 minutes to come up with one. We were playing this game at dinner, but I lost technically because, like, I'd have four questions for him, and then he'd be like, give me 20 minutes to come up with a question that's too hard.
Come on, you know who David Ogden Stiers was.
Who cares? Honestly, who cares? He was the person who, like, had a weird episode of Next Generation where he like, liked Luxana Troy. Nobody likes Luxana Troy. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 26, 2014. This is Mike Minotti and I'm joined by my brother AJ.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
What are we talking about?
Video games.
Yeah, what kind? What are our news topics?
Metal Gear, Persona, Warcraft.
What a small announcement.
And Twitch.
Nothing crazy. So, that'll be fun. Then, we'll talk about what we've been playing. Have you been playing anything different?
I've been playing new twists on old favorites.
Sounds terrible. All right. We'll talk about that. We'll see what the community's been doing. And then we'll, that'll be it, I guess. But let's get into it. What do you want to talk about first?
You want to do your personas?
Yeah, it's cool. I'm just kind of excited because, you know, they did that thing a little bigger where they announced those four Persona games. The Persona, like, music game for Vita. The Persona, like, dungeon crawler for 3DS. Persona Q, like the kind of like sequel to Persona Arena and Persona 5. And you know, a lot of people were like, oh, who knows if, how many of these games are going to come out west because Sega owns Atlas now. And everyone, like, there's a lot of people who assume that Sega was going to ruin Atlas for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because sometimes Sega doesn't localize all of their games, like some of the Yakuzas or whatever. But yeah, they announced these are all coming over to the West, which is pretty good. The one I was like, was, you know, I figured that Persona Q and definitely Persona 5 were. I was a little bit more worried about the music games because it's a little bit more niche.
Mm-hmm.
And the fighting game, for whatever reason, I was just worried about. Probably just because I wanted it to come out so bad. And I mean, I have no idea how well the first fighting game did. But I did like that fighting game a lot. Plus, it had like a really long story mode with a big cliffhanger that I assume gets settled here.
That's good.
So, yeah, that's all fun and exciting stuff. I always like these games.
Are you going to say any more details about the games themselves, or just that they're coming west? They give a time?
There's a little bit more plot for, like, that Persona Q game, kind of explaining how it's a crossover. There were time. I think Persona Q and the fighting game are this year.
Cool.
And then the other two are in 2015.
I kind of want that Vita game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, because that's, like, the one a lot of people are so down, like, oh, this is stupid. I'm like, come on.
Oh, not those people.
People do this every time there's, like, a fun music game.
Yeah, we can't take anything's, you know, everything has to be taken completely seriously.
You know, whatever the quality of that Star Wars Kinect minigame was.
That was the most appealing part of it.
The fact that people were, like, upset that, like, Han Solo did, like, a dance to a parody of a song, like, that's funny to me.
Yeah.
Get over yourselves. It was the same thing, like, in Disney World, they had the Star Wars weekends. One of my favorite parts of it was, at the end of the day, they did this show called the Hyperspace Hoopla. Like, this funny thing, you know, where, like,
Darth Vader does some Britney Spears does, like, dance. And
yeah, it's and, like, great. And, like, all the characters, and it's goofy. And, it seems like 75% of people love it, and, like, the other 25% are like, how dare they?
Yeah.
Like, you know? I mean, as long as we're making fun of it intentionally, it's not like the prequels where it's just, like,
bad,
destroying the legacy, yeah. But I don't know. No, I'm all for the music game. Plus, I like the music from these games a lot. So, yeah. But this is, it's all very good news. I'm excited to get to that fighting game, practice my Chie skills. It is kind of weird, because it's like, these are all, except for the portable ones, it's like, they're last-gen-y kind of things, and it's like, oh, I gotta plug those back in.
Right.
Because Persona 5 is going to be a PlayStation 3 game, which is weird.
You think by now you could use PlayStation now to get it?
I don't know. I still don't quite understand that. You know, I almost wish that, like, a Vita version of that game was coming out immediately.
Just right away, yeah.
Because that's how I played Persona 3 and 4. Because I played, I played
the Plus, by then, you might have a Vita TV anyway. And
especially, you know what? Especially for these JRPGs that take, you know, more than 50 hours to beat, it's just nice to be able to kind of, like, plug away at it a couple hours in bed every night. Play it on the shitter. I don't even do that. Just in bed. You know, every night. Just, like, when I go to bed before I fall asleep, instead of, like, reading or watching TV, I just play one of these games for a little bit. I mean, like, for Persona 4, it took me, like half a year, you know? It was nice.
You did it, yeah.
Yeah, but it was great. I looked forward to it every night. But, you know, so it's kind of different feeling when it's like, all right, I guess I have 8 hours here to play.
Yeah, yeah. You feel the responsibility to sit down and kind of binge it a bit.
And, I mean, really, yeah, just in general, I prefer, like, it's Bravely Default and Shin Megami Tensei. I just like portable for my RPGs. Like, the only one I can think of recently that I played on a console was Ni No Kuni.
Which is like $7 right now. I should probably get it.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. You know, why not?
Yeah, at that point, shit.
But yeah, I'm excited that we're going to get all these, and who knows? Maybe there'll be some teasers at like the end of Persona Q or the fighting game for Persona 5. I'm sure it'll be interesting to see exactly what it's like and how it's different or how it's the same. Right. It's been a surprisingly long time since Persona 4.
Yeah, like it doesn't feel like it because the Vita version kind of
right. Well,
because
there's been like
bridged the gap a bit.
It's amazing how much Persona stuff there has been after that. Just like with Persona 4 and 3. Like, it suddenly became this thing. I mean, you had the fighting game, and you had, like, there was the anime, and the re-release, and just all this stuff, but it's a big deal now, which is fun.
Yep.
All right, so Ground Zeroes, there's so many different versions of this, I couldn't quite figure out what the price drop was exactly.
So, the original plan, keep up with me here, is that the pricing structure of the game was originally last gen digital 20, last gen physical 30, current gen digital 30, and current gen physical 40. All they did was drop the price.
I thought there was no physical version of the next gen. No, there was.
Yeah, I know. I was confusing that too for a while. But yeah, they dropped the price of the physical version of the current gen, meaning Xbox One, PS4 version, to 30. So basically, every version of the game is $30 unless you're downloading it on a Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3. Then it's 20.
Do you think this is because it was getting confusing? Do you think this is
because it's because everyone flipped shit that they were going to charge $40 for a 2-hour game?
Okay. Yeah. Well, right.
I mean, I would have liked to see kind of a more universal drop. I still think even 30.
Well, we don't know. I guess really. Yeah.
Although, even if you're gonna drop. I don't understand dropping the physical version $10. Then why doesn't the digital at least get even like a $5 drop or something?
I still just think this whole thing is weird and a bad idea, but who knows? Like when Phantom Pain comes out, are you going to be able to play it without having played Ground Zero?
Yeah, but you'll get bonus items.
No, I don't mean from that. I mean like from like a story perspective.
Right, probably not.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. It's just bizarre. I guess we'll have to see it, like, to you know, understand if this, why this was maybe done. But it just sounds like
a bad idea. I'm very curious to see the reviews for this game. You know what it'll be telling? Hmm. When is the review embargo?
Well, not always.
Yeah, but I think in this case, because I feel like, so you already have like one outlet saying it's a 2-hour game. But can you imagine if every review is, I beat this in 90 minutes?
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. I can understand that, but I know that used to be the thing, like, oh, if the embargo is not so the game comes out, you know, it's bad. But especially lately, just my experience, there's a lot of review embargoes are just the day the game comes out. I'm reviewing something right now where the embargo is then, and I'm not going to say what it is. And it's also what I've been playing most of, and I can't talk about it. But
it's on your Steam profile.
Well, true. But it's great. You know, trust me, they didn't put the embargo where they did because of that. So, I don't know. I'm still excited to play it.
Yeah, that's the sad thing.
I'm still getting it, yeah, for sure. All right, what else?
Twitch coming to the X-Bone.
Yeah.
Conveniently, when Titanfall comes out. So,
Twitch is kind of neat, but I haven't, like, I mean, it's not like I've been using it a lot for PlayStation 4.
Well, I feel like the Xbox One is almost launching again in a couple weeks. Because they're doing the Twitch is getting turned on.
Well, see, that's the big thing to me is all the party stuff. Yeah, just so when we were trying to do that with Titanfall, which was the first time I really tried, it's bad. I can't imagine. I don't know how they shipped it like that.
The biggest problem
was the party chat.
Was that the party chat wasn't on by default.
And nobody, like, everyone's like trying to say hello.
And you had no way of saying, oh, like, I figured out what was going on. I was like, oh, you have to turn it on. But I had no way of telling you guys, on the party chat.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. So did you watch the video that walks you through?
I watched like half of it before I got bored.
Okay, so it's basically going kind of back to what it was on the 360, which is narc. So you could invite someone to a party, to a game, or to the party and the game. And then from the party, you can invite people to your game. Again, this is stuff that I don't know how it wasn't there in the first place.
Right.
But, it, you know...
Because, like, the PlayStation 4 party stuff is pretty nice. Mostly just because it's exactly like...
What the 360 did, yeah.
Except it's easier to go to, like, the dashboard from your game.
Now, the nice thing, too, is, you know, when you have it snapped, you can see who's in the game you're in and who's in what they call other activities. There was some other thing to it as well that is eluding me. Must not be important.
Yeah. The bigger Twitch story seems to be this Pokemon thing that everyone's talking about.
I don't get
which
that.
Which is like another, you know, we're kind of getting into this trend in video game press, and maybe we always have. I hate talking about it as if I'm not a part of it, but it's always beginning to be more like actual news things, where it's like we have this 24-hour network, and we just find these stories and just drill them until they're dead. I mean, yeah, it was Flappy Bird, and now...
I feel like there's four stories a day about Twitch on Pokemon. Right, like, and before really it was Flappy Bird,
and now it's like... And, you know, I don't want to be like it's a conspiracy. It's because these stories are popular, so they want to make them. I don't know why some people need to keep reading about Twitch on Pokemon. I understand it was kind of neat, but, man, some people are like... I don't understand, like, the obsession about it. I understand why it's a next-level story.
Right.
Like, I even went out and tried it. It's like, it's neat. I get it. And then, you know... Like, I saw a story today, like, oh, watch them, they're fighting the 8th gym leader. I'm like, say something if they beat it. Don't give me a progress report. Yeah. Like, oh, man, they're, like, 9/10 of the way through the game. Like, I get cool. But, yeah, it just, we are getting more and more of these, like, offbeat culture stories that just get 4 stories a day. And, you know, the Flappy Bird thing, you know, I can see, like, the page views of the site I write for, and those aren't the top stories.
Yep.
And so it's like you can't.
It's part of the cultural zeitgeist of gaming.
And it's like, you know, so I almost don't blame the media a whole lot.
You're mad at the fans?
Yeah, I think I am.
Yeah, stop, I think that's what you're getting shit. At.
Like, you know.
Knock it off.
Right. You know, that's kind of the thing. Everybody always talks about how they want video game journalism to be elevated. But whenever anybody throws that party, nobody shows up.
Right.
No, everybody wants to read the 5th story about Flappy Bird that day. You want to write a review without a score in it? Yeah, watch it before you read that. Okay, I'm done griping.
Okay, well, anyway, back to what I was building up to. So I was joking about the Xbox One is almost relaunching because you're getting this dashboard update, the Twitch integration, the headset adapter, Titanfall. They did a price drop in England, and they're doing the Titanfall bundle. You've seen that as well.
Yeah. Do you think? Weird question. What if the Xbox One just launched on March 11th? I guess you would have missed that holiday.
Yeah, you would have missed the holiday. I mean, they sold 3.5 million. It's not something.
Yeah, I know. You would have had disappointed. I guess my biggest point is it would have been nice to have Titanfall as a launch title.
Oh yeah, that would have changed the game. Well, I'll tell you what. Do you remember all those reports back in like the fall that
the
Microsoft?
Titanfall?
Sorry. That Microsoft was like 6 months behind on the software development of the Xbox
One. You kind of believe it now, huh?
Yeah, kind of lines up now, don't it?
You can kind of see that. I mean, of course, the benefit is like, you know, they could kind of just get the
patch
new one
it up and
right, like, hey, here we go.
History will probably forget this, and that's what, you know, that's what
but,
happens.
Yeah, you're right.
But
it is. Yeah, hard, it's easy to believe that now.
Yeah. Hey, if it's working,
well, good. Don't give them a. I mean, I don't know. I almost want to say, like, don't give him a big free pass, but at the same time, it's like, what damage is really done?
I'm not giving him a free pass. I gave him a $500 pass true. That I paid, that we all paid.
You're resurging fan... You and Chris is, like, resurging fanboyism for Microsoft that annoys me. It annoys me that you, at this age and point in the game, you still have a loyalty to one system over the other. Because, I mean, I was asking you, Chris, and my thing I said, like, okay, so... Because of all this stuff happening, if Destiny comes out for both systems, And people say the PlayStation 4 one is a little better for whatever reason. We're just going to get the PlayStation 4 one since we all have both systems, right? And you're all like, I don't know. I'm like, why not? What's the difference?
Well, I'll say for the, like, because you don't, you didn't, you got Battlefield on the PC. We got on the Xbox One, and our cousin, who only has an Xbox One, has it. And we play with him a lot, actually. You're left out because you don't have it. But so same thing. If, because, you know, Destiny's going to be a four-player thing.
I'm sure
thing.
You'll have other friends who only have PlayStation 4s. I'm sure there's plenty of our community friends. Not that are playing
Battlefield. Or
well, okay, yeah, it's splintered, I understand, but it's splintered both ways, no matter what. I'm just saying if... That's kind of an even thing. Like, I'm sure we have followers and stuff in the PlayStation 4 version we want to play with, you know?
I know.
That's just my thing.
I like...
Chris has upset me more, because he was, like, still giving me... I have so much invested in the Xbox. Oh, the achievements. Like, who gives a shit anymore? I got an achievement for watching 3 episodes of a show the other day. I was like, oh yeah, thanks. Cool.
I don't think the non-gaming achievements even have points associated with them.
Stupid.
Again, it's that audience. They like that shit, so that's why
they don't like it as much as they used to.
There's still people who do.
But I feel like that was the point, was to make people feel like, man, I gotta get the Xbox version of this game because I don't want to miss out on those achievements. And it's working, I guess. Yeah, all right.
Final story. So you saw the rumors are true that not only do you get your free character boost to level 90 when World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor comes out, but they will sell the boost at $60 a pop.
Okay, now from the inflection in your voice and from what I've been reading, people think this is too much?
I think it is.
Do you know what the time investment would be?
I understand.
To get a character to level 90?
My thing is, well, first of all, presuming history repeats itself, the expansion will be 40.
Okay.
Can't you put multiple keys in your account? My point being, can't you just buy the expansion for 40 and get the character boost with that than just buying? Like, I feel like it should cost the same as the expansion. If you're going to, like, try to come up with some monetary value to it. No,
because now, like you said, it costs less if you get the expansion. So now more people will get the expansion. I think that's one of the points.
I'm saying, like, for multiples. Like, if you wanted to boost more than one character to 90.
Then you have to pay more for it, because it's... there's a point where you just can't be generous about that.
Yeah, I know. My big thing is, it's fine. Their justification for it is weird, that they don't want to devalue leveling.
Sure.
When, on the Warlords of Draenor, like, webpage bullet listing, they're like, get right into the action and go to 90. It's like, well, what's all the other stuff, then?
It is a thing where maybe you want to get... You know, let everyone have one character on there, but come on, we can't just pay $10 all your characters at level 90.
I would have thought it'd be 30 or 40, no, but...
60 seems fine. Like I said, when you think about how long of an investment that is, it's fine.
I feel like Blizzard themselves is almost admitting that it's not worth the time. You want to be at this point anyway.
It's not about how it's not worth the time, it's about how some people want to see that content and they'll give them a chance. But I don't think they want all of that 10 years of work that they did to just be completely bypassed by everybody. I mean, if a $90 level boost is, you know, I mean, a level boost to 90 is that's $10. Who's gonna play that content? It'll all be a ghost town. It'll be I don't think that'll benefit the game at all. I think it should be a high end thing. Give everybody one, so that they can still see that content. You know, they can jump straight to that content, but you know, still for the but they're still by and large a good reason to play through it. You're going to save yourself $60 if you want another character there.
But I feel like everyone the one, most people, this is conjecture.
A lot of people aren't just going to take their level one character and bump up to 90, or maybe they will. But I mean, a lot of people have multiple characters.
I'm saying when a new expansion comes out and most people are going to have their primary character boosted to 90, you're going to have that ghost town effect you're talking about.
I think a lot of people will want to. Well, if you don't have a character... I mean, keep in mind, 90's not the level cap once this comes out. What, 100?
No, it's 100. 90's the previous cap, so...
This is still fine to
me. You're either going to have people who don't have any max level characters who are going to boost to 90, or you have people who are maxed out who are going to create an alt to boost to 90.
Right.
So you're still skipping all that, for the most part...
For one character, but you can still... Everybody has alts. How many alts did you create in your time of World War II?
Yeah, I know, I'm an altaholic. But I'm saying...
Everyone's an altaholic. It's fun to make a new character. And everyone wants to play through that content. You get one free pass. That's it. Fine by me. $60 is fine for that price, for what you get. I know it seems like a lot because, like, oh, it's a MMO service. Well, guess what? All right. I mean, trust me, if you were to pay one of those things where you had people level up your character for you to, like, level 60 back then, it probably would have cost you more than $60. All right.
That's super shady. Don't do that.
What have you been playing?
Well, here, I wanted to tie that into a conversation I started with the community on Twitter and Facebook, where I was asking, what free-to-play games have you actually spent money on? Now, ironically, as I was driving home today, you not knowing I was really doing this, told me you bought 7 packs of cards in Hearthstone.
Well, I was just going to buy... You can buy 2 packs for, like, $3, or you can buy 7 packs for $10. Like, ah, screw it.
It was $10?
Yeah. Huh? What, is that a lot? That's what? How much do you think all those packs of Pokemon cards
are? Yeah, I know. I'm trying to, like, I guess they were like $2.99 a pack, right?
Oh, look, they came for 11 cards.
Yeah, 11.
30? How many cards? I don't know what 30 was,
yeah. Sorry. No, you're right. 11.
11. And there were a lot more cards. You got a lot more crap.
Yeah, energy.
I mean, you got 11 cards because your decks were 60 instead of 30. So it kind of all remade. I don't know. It was an easy purchase for me to make.
Yeah, no,
even if you don't use those cards, you can get mana dust for them for crafting. So it was fun. But no, I mean, I'm very invested. I mean, yeah, I guess I finally paid something for Hearthstone. Which is fine because I like the game a lot. I mean, yeah, I've already gotten a lot of content out of it.
Yeah. So what other free-to-play games have you actually paid money for? Because the only ones I can really think of were Tribes Ascend and Super Monday Night Combat.
I'm pretty sure I bought something in League of Legends at one point.
I never did. The only I
played a lot more of it back
then. I unlocked one champion, but like it was a giveaway code in PC Gamers. That's how I got it.
No, I think, at one point I definitely bought something. I can't remember if I did for Tribes of Super Monday Night Combat. Wouldn't it have surprised me? Because it is always those... It's always those kind of free-to-play games. First off, games that are more substantial. It's never like one of these iPhone social games.
You're not paying money for Candy Crush Saga or Clash of Clans.
I've never paid money to fill up a meter.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I pay money for like the digital currency or whatever, but... If not those ones you just named, I can't imagine what else it would have ever been.
That seemed to be the consensus from our listeners. Like, I got a lot of Tribes from people.
Does anyone still play Tribes? It kind of feels like that was fun, but it feels like it was a flash in the pan. The developer
kind
of
stopped working on it. Like, it's still up. And what they did, actually, which I really like, is once they were kind of done with the game, they said, all right, $30 for everything. They just turned into a $30 game.
That's cool, but I hope people are still playing, because it was super fun. It is one of those games, though, where you reach that point where once you get to a certain amount of level, like, the competition curve is so high, you can barely compete anymore.
Yeah, keep
it was
up.
It was very fun to play for about 10 hours. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I feel like I got my time and money's worth out of it.
All right. Are you going to get Garden Warfare?
We were talking about this with our brother Chris, because he seems really high on it, and I've read mixed reviews, mostly from the good to great spectrum.
I was never very interested to begin with, largely because I've never liked even Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah.
I don't like that tower defense genre.
But it's not, it's basically Battlefield.
But it's the same kind of thing.
Goofy Battlefield.
Well, this is, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
So, I told Chris, between the fact that I'm moving house in a week and a half, and Titanfall comes out 3 days after that.
Like, Titanfall's coming out.
Yeah, I'm not going to get another multiplayer shooter to play for a week. Like I told Chris, I think like come May, June, if that game goes on sale, I'll pick it up.
Seems like it's like going to be like the next like Gotham City Imposters.
Yeah,
or whatever.
That too is possible.
All right, anything else you play?
So, two things. First of all, you played this. Yeah, I think you did the Final Fantasy 14 beta on PS4.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, basically, it's Final Fantasy 14. Looks like it's running on a high-end PC.
Well, it still looks a lot better on my PC. Well, it looks very good. The thing is, once you're in more populated areas, the frame rate does take a dip.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a dip.
When you're kind of running by yourself, it looks great.
I wonder if that's still part of it being a beta. I mean, it's still 2 months away.
I imagine this is what it looks like. The point is, though, it does look...
Like the hell of a lot better than the PS3 version.
The PlayStation 3 version was like rough for me.
I mean, it's full 1080p and everything. So
it does. It looks. It's definitely the best looking MMO I've seen on a system.
Yeah, but what I was playing with, which worked really well to my delight, was the Vita Remote Play.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing this, I discovered no one ever talked about this, but the Vita does have an option for Remote Play, where instead of going through your local network, it just Wi-Fi direct connects to your PS4. You have to set it... The setting can only be changed from the PS4 itself, which is kind of dumb.
Okay.
But, like, I was lying in my bed, which is the same room as the PS4, and just playing Final Fantasy 14 in bed. It was great.
I had to try that.
Yeah.
I just tried that one time, and I think I was doing it over the Wi-Fi, and it didn't work that great.
Yeah, yeah, I'll show you where that option is, and it'll probably work. Oh, shit, you're going to be in paradise with that. Like I said, I wouldn't do any dungeons or raiding with my Vita.
Right.
But if you just want to grind some levels or do your crafting, it's great. It's cool, too, because so the PS4 version, one unique thing it does is you can use that touchpad to move the mouse cursor around like a trackpad. Mm-hmm. And then on the Vita, you just kind of use the front touchscreen of the Vita as like a virtual trackpad for the game as well. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see they integrated that.
Is some of the text hard to read on the Vita?
Yeah, that like again, that's why you're going to want to like leave quests would be good to do on this because they're not really story focused.
Maybe just run around and do a bunch of the
fates. Yeah. Otherwise, like I said, I was kind of like holding the Vita up to my face trying to read some text.
It would be kind of it'll be a neat thing to.
It was just kind of cool to be like, wow, I'm playing a full blown MMORPG. On my handheld system lying in bed. Like, that's kind of cool. Mm. The other thing, yesterday, Blizzard released the 2.0 patch for Diablo 3.
Weird. When did Diablo 3 come out? 2 years ago?
It came out in May of 2012.
Okay, so a little less.
So, like, yeah, a little under 2 years.
Okay.
This
brings a lot of changes.
So the big change is the removal of the auction houses. And then what they call the loot 2.0 system. So basically, they made loot better. And it's not 100%, but most of the time, it's going to be drops for your class.
Right.
So you're not going to be a barbarian finding stuff for a wizard.
Which is nice. Which, I mean, I don't know, maybe, like, I think the point before is like, oh, you can put that in your stash for your other character. And it's
My stash is overflowing with crap.
Right.
For mostly stuff for witch doctors and for demon hunters, because those are the two classes I haven't played.
Right. This is nice.
So they also completely changed the way difficulty in the game works. So they got rid of like hell and nightmare and all that stuff. The game in normal mode just constantly scales to your level, which is kind of cool because that means you can go play whatever act you want and kind of grind in there and just kind of do it up.
Right.
Then they do still have difficulty modes. The way they described them was like the one up from normal, whatever it was called, medium or hard or whatever. Like the description said, this is recommended for players who are familiar with Diablo 3 who have some new gear from Reaper of Souls, which is the expansion. But then, you know, when you're playing in the harder difficulty, you get like 25% more experience, 25% more gold drop.
Is the loot better?
I don't know. Okay. Like I say, it concretely showed better experience in gold. And then, you know, all the way up, it kept doing more of that.
Are some of these changes coming to the console version? Because the console versions still have the difficulty mode.
Yeah, I don't know what they plan to do with the 360 and PS3 versions. Now, the PS4 version, when it comes out, is going to have Reaper of Souls included.
Is it going to have, like, a lot of these other things?
It should, because this is all stuff that's tied into Reaper of Souls. Yeah. This is like the patch that always comes out before the Wild expansion, where
when
you
get
most
Souls
of the features.
Coming out?
Sometime in March, end of March.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They changed that difficulty, the loot system. They changed, like, the Paragon system, which is, like, a kind of secondary level you had, which is now shared between all your characters.
Right.
I still don't quite understand all that.
The kind of thing is, like, I played that console version so much, and I liked playing that with friends, I do very different experiences with Diablo 3, right? The PC version, playing by myself and following the story. And then I had the one where I played it, like, Gauntlet with three of my friends.
Right.
And it was kind of more fun the other way.
Right.
And that's kind of the big problem. All this stuff is nice. And it probably makes the game better. The biggest reason why Diablo 3 didn't really resonate with me is because the story was dumb as dirt.
Yeah, it's a real dumb story.
It's a stupid
story. Just a dumb story. It's not so much that it's bad. It's just dumb.
It's so dumb. And I don't know if, like, Diablo 2 story was better, or if just at the time that stuff worked more. I don't know. But you just took... There's something creepy about Diablo 2.
Yeah, Diablo 3, everything that happened was predictable, and then when it did happen, you didn't care.
There's a lot of, like, maniacal laughter.
Yeah.
Like, the funniest thing was...
Asmodan,
as like, it literally, it's like, it's comical. He's always...
Throughout Act 3, he's like, you'll never stop the next phase of my plan, Nephilim.
All he does is mock you and talk up the next boss you fight. They wouldn't even... You beat him. He's like, that guy was shit anyways.
Yeah. A minor setback.
Right, exactly. Which, by the way, was a trope that happened from Burning Crusade, because there's that... Who's that Blood Elf Prince from Warcraft 3.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Because you just kill him in a raid dungeon, and then, like, you hear him, like, later on, he just, like, comes back. He's like, oh, that was just a minor setback. It's like a trope, because, like, WoW does that shit all the time. Like, people are just back.
Yeah.
It's kind of an overreaching problem with with Blizzard, I think, is that their stories... writing is just not very good anymore.
No, it's too bad.
Like, even with StarCraft 2. What was the story of StarCraft 2?
Kerrigan did stuff.
Kerrigan did stuff, maybe. I don't know. I played, like, a third of Heart of the Swarm. Who talked about Heart of the Swarm?
I don't know. I own a copy and I haven't played it yet.
Does anybody like StarCraft anymore, except for, like, the people who play in those tournament matches?
Because it's kind of all gone to MOBA. You know, like
it seems irrelevant.
The analog I've kind of heard is StarCraft, in a lot of ways, has become chess, where it's not so much about strategy, it's just rote memorization.
Yeah.
Like, you see your opponent doing this, oh, well, you do this. Like, and that's all there is to it.
I feel like almost in the internet age where anybody can go and kind of read, like, the super strategy, it's no fun anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, you almost can't play StarCraft 2 casually. But, I mean, like, I don't have the numbers, but I would feel like StarCraft 2 did not sell ridiculously well. Right?
No.
And maybe it's just a perception thing, but it just doesn't seem like a lot of people talked about it when it came out. I remember when StarCraft 1 came out, everybody was playing it. Like, all our friends.
And that happened when Brood Wars came out.
That was the same thing, but I don't know. I just remember when we were young, maybe it's just an age thing, but when we were young, we always had LAN parties playing Warcraft 2, and then StarCraft, and then Warcraft 3. It just doesn't seem like there's a very... It seemed like only the die-hard StarCraft fans were playing StarCraft 2. Maybe I'm wrong. I need to say that.
I think StarCraft 2 also suffered from Blizzard really confused everybody.
Yeah, like, that whole...
They're not expansions. Oh, wait, now they are expansions. And
yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah.
That's right, there's still like a third of StarCraft 2 to come out.
Right.
I guess, which is like, can we just have Warcraft 4? I don't know. But then maybe Warcraft 4 won't be any fun anymore.
Who knows? Wouldn't that be too bad?
I mean, that was never my genre to begin with.
Yeah, I always wanted it to be, but it never was.
Oh, that sucked. That's why I was so grateful when I discovered turn-based strategy games. Like, oh,
I could think as long as I need. Right?
It's like, oh, sweet, okay.
Real quick, I just want to say, like, the fun thing about this patch, if you haven't played Diablo 3 in a while, it's worth it because right away I, like, just upgraded all of my equipment. I got some oranges.
Oh, yeah.
When I beat Asmodan, I was like, this is great.
There was a you can't go back home game, because I liked Diablo 2 a lot, so maybe there is some weird clyness to it, but yeah, Diablo 3, like, and for so long, I was like, please announce Diablo 3, please make Diablo 3, and then they did, and it was good.
Yeah.
Alright, anything else you want to talk about?
Nothing else I played, what about you?
I'm just playing Hearthstone in the game I'm reviewing, can't really talk about. No, that's not true, I played Remember Me. Now I remember.
Oh, how's that?
Now I remembered.
Whoops.
Yeah, it was the free. It's the free to download game. I probably wouldn't have been playing more of it, except I got caught up in this review. But it's exactly the kind of game I love getting for free,
right?
Because it definitely, you know, it's not perfect. It's one of those games that you like think like, man, it would have been nice if this had like a AAA budget. It's kind of the rare AA game. You don't hear much about AA.
Yes.
Yeah, there's always everything's like either like indie or AAA. And this game's like, you know, it didn't have an Uncharted budget or stuff, but it does. It still has, like, a cool art design, but, like, you know, the voice acting's not great, and the animation's kind of awkward and stuff like that, but it's still cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the combat, it's basically that, like, Batman kind of counter combat, but the cool thing is, like, the combos, you have to kind of set up yourself, and you unlock moves for your combo, and, like, not like the moves are, like, any different, like, how they look or whatever, they kind of are, but the big deal is, like, this combo will restore some of your health. But this combo will do more damage, depending on, like, the bits and pieces you put into
it. Oh, that's almost like what Rise did.
It's interesting. It's a little different there. But, like, the big kind of thing is, I've only done it once, but, like, you have to, like, manipulate people's memories sometimes. And it's a bit, like, adventure gamey.
Hmm.
Essentially, you, like, you see a memory, and then you can rewind it or fast-forward it, like, almost like a video. And there's, like, certain objects that are, like, flash, and you can change them, so you can move a table or like undo a lock or something like that. You have to find out which things you have to disturb or leave alone to make the scene play out in the way you want.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's kind of it's interesting.
A little bit of whatchamacallit, the DS game.
Ghost Trick. Yeah. It is a little, it is Ghost Tricky.
Yeah.
Not quite as good as Ghost Trick, because I worshipped Ghost Trick, but yeah, it is sort of like that. But, yeah, it seems neat. You know, the world's kind of cool. It's Neo Paris. So it's that cyber, I always kind of like that cyberpunk stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, you know, for free, it's definitely fun.
Cool.
Anything else?
We got some community stuff from one Jeffrey Grubb of the Michigan Grubs.
Of the Michigan Grubs.
Yes, which I had open. Here it is. Okay, so, he had a few posts after last week's show. No, he's backing me up.
What?
Yes.
Bull. Okay. I'll tell him why he's wrong.
So, he says, a couple of things. On Xbox One versus PS4 resolution, I think this is definitely hurting Microsoft. I also think it's weird that Microsoft released a system that can't run all these games with ease. However, in addition to the DirectX drivers, which I talked about, apparently Microsoft plans to update the Xbox One to free up 8% of the 10% of the RAM that is currently reserved for the OS. Oh, we'll let developers use that. It should help. And I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
I guess, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if this stuff does help.
Right. He continues, on Xbox One versus PlayStation 4 sales, Mike asked how the numbers, how can the numbers for January be low? It was 280,000 for PS4, 145 for the One. If Sony announced it crossed 5 million total sales, well, because those NPDs are US only and Sony's 5 million is worldwide.
Okay.
So, fudging of the numbers like everyone does.
Yeah, fine.
It's just 1 month, so I wouldn't read too much into it, but if March comes and Titanfall doesn't move more Xbox Ones and PS4s, I think Microsoft will consider some drastic actions.
What would the drastic action be?
Well, you've seen the new, like, worry of the new guy who's the head of the devices and product division at Microsoft, or whatever it's called, which Xbox is part of. He is a former CEO of Nokia. This is the guy who, when he took over Nokia, literally Nokia shit the bed. Like, their stocks plummeted. Their profits plummeted.
Did he make the N-Gage?
He might have.
I like to think he made
this guy is also the one who the was taco. Quoted as saying in the past, as just a point of conjecture, he was like, if I were Microsoft, I would sell the Xbox division. And now he's in charge of it.
That's
so
funny.
Everyone's kind of worried about that.
That's funny. They have way too much invested in the Xbox division to just sell it. No way. But, I mean, what's the drastic action? It has to involve the Kinect, right?
They probably will get rid of the Kinect. Drop that price.
Because for all the talk about how the Kinect is necessary and everybody needs to have a Kinect that's going to make games better, I haven't seen a game do jack shit with it.
No, yeah, a game has yet to do crap. Now,
I like some of the stuff, but none of it's essential. I like having the voice commands.
Mm-hmm.
I like it recognizing my face. I'm fine, I have it. I see absolutely no evidence why it had to be included.
Right. It's nice that, like, you know, when the Twitch comes out, you can either hit the home button, go to the snap menu, select Twitch, and hit record, or you just say Xbox Broadcast. Like, fantastic.
Right.
But, as far as, like you said, like Titanfall is not going to play better because I have
the game integration has been worthless.
Yeah. They have that demo for Kinect Sports, which, I tried it, worked surprisingly well. Everyone says Fantasia is going to be cool. We'll see.
Like, when I played Dead Rising 3, I'm able to yell at the bosses to confuse them for a second. Like, okay. When you can feasibly lower the price by $100, you know, directly compete, because that is the thing, right?
It's price. Oh, sure.
That has to, I mean, everyone said, or at least I said it was going to be, like, you know, when the two systems look very similar and the one is $100 cheaper, who's not, most people are going to get that one.
Mm-hmm.
This
Titanfall bundle, you got to figure is going to do well for them. You're getting a $60 game for free and a month of Xbox Live.
Yeah, but it is also a reaction to low sales. I mean,
well, sure.
I think Sony canceled the Second Son bundle. I think largely because, well, why are they going to make a bundle if they're still selling the
system?
Like, why do that when people can just buy the game and the system and they'll make more money? Whereas Microsoft's like, hey, let's bundle this shit up. Let's move some consoles.
Right. I mean, I feel like in a way, and I know it's like a limited run bundle, but it almost feels like a $60 price drop for the system. Because come March 11th, who is not going to buy Titanfall with an Xbox One? Like, if you're buying an Xbox One like in the month of March,
it seems like the kind of
you're getting Titanfall.
Yeah, the game you would want to have to have.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyone else? Jeff posted a second post.
Oh, shit. Thanks, Jeff.
He says, "Shit, I almost forgot why I came here in the first place. This is about Irrational."
Uh oh.
2K totally, I'm trying to read his wording here, totally shut down Irrational. $4 million is a lot, but it's not a lot for the amount of time they spent making Bioshock Infinite. They took 5 years. The game came out, and the disc version of Minecraft on the Xbox 360 outsold Bioshock Infinite on PS3 and Xbox 360 combined. Jeez. It didn't even make the top 10, according to NPD. I'm betting Take-Two thought that was unacceptable. Is it shitty that Levine is happy taking a new job while everyone loses their jobs around him? Possibly. But I think you can also read his announcement as him taking the responsibility for laying everyone off. I didn't really get that from it, but...
Yeah, it is weird. You know, I wish I looked this up. I was wondering what the sales were for Bioshock 1 across both those platforms, you know, because you would hope that Infinite would do better.
And again, it's the circumstances. It didn't take them 5 years to make.
Well, but even still, Bioshock. Without that, just why didn't it sell more? Because it had hype.
Mm-hmm.
It got reviewed very well. So what was it? Why didn't more people buy Bioshock Infinite? Is it because it didn't have a multiplayer mode after we all kind of praise it for not shoehorning one in?
When did it come out? Like, was it February or March? Was that just the wrong time of year to release a game like that?
And you know, somebody's going to say, like, oh, well, see, there's just no market for this kind of thing. But then you look at the Last of Us sold.
Yeah. Maybe that's not a game you released.
The Last of Us sold more on PlayStation 3
by itself? I don't know. At least comparable.
Of course, Last of Us does have a multiplayer mode, which I've never even opened, and right. I expect a lot of people haven't. It's interesting.
Yep.
Kind of a shame.
All right. I was listening to the Gamers with Jobs podcast today. They had their PAX East panel.
Yeah.
They scheduled this 2 months ago, but Levine's on the panel.
Oh, really?
I wonder how that conversation's going to go.
Awkward now, yeah.
Yeah, right? I wonder if he's going to back out of it. Because you know what everyone's going to try to ask him.
Yeah, Ken Levine's not exactly a popular guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, it's weird how maybe there's a legal reason. You haven't heard any of the ex-Irrational Play say anything, like, either way.
Oh, they can't. You sign papers on your way out that say you won't discuss the details, but...
Weird.
I mean, like I said, I follow Sean Elliott on Twitter. From the way he's been kind of reacting, I get the feeling this was not a happy thing in any way.
I'm sure.
Like I said, he's eBaying his swag from working on Bioshock Infinite.
Must have had a lot of meaning to him.
Like, he had, like, Vigors that were signed by the lead development team guys that he, like, put on eBay. Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah, it's not good.
All right.
Not good.
But not happy note.
Yeah. So, on Diablo 3, they have the ability to have communities and clans. So there's an Exploding Barrel community. So if you play Diablo 3... You should join the Exploding Barrel community.
Like I said, I reinstalled it, and I'll see what's up. But, you know, like I said, this is a game I just beat again.
Yeah, I mean, I fired it up, and I was enjoying myself. I haven't played it in a while. I mean, you just played through it on the console. I really didn't, so maybe that's part of it. But
yeah.
I you know, it's sad, because, I mean, I'm going to get this expansion. Yeah. And I'm probably going to get it on PS4.
Yeah, well, yeah. I want to play through the expansion. I don't know how I'm going to play through it, but yeah.
Well, that's kind of nice, too, because this difficulty, the way they changed it, that's what I always wondered. Like, well, if you, like, got halfway through the second difficulty level, how did you go back to Act 5? But since it's all just scaling, it doesn't matter. You just go play Act 5 with whatever character you want.
Right.
And just kind of do it. So you could reap the souls from the Reaper of Souls.
That guy, who is the boss, apparently.
I guess.
Not quite as cool. Not quite as cool as, like, the other two very blatantly set up, like, you know, the expansion boss.
Yeah.
This time I was like, oh, this guy. Okay.
Also, having watched that cutscene again, oh god, is this a Diablo spoiler to explain the cutscene before Act 4?
Who cares?
Like I said, it's just really stupid. Weird that, like, the prime evil is initially just this kind of girl. And he doesn't, like, change his form right away until an angel forces him to.
Right.
Like, why didn't we leave him like that? He was a lot more manageable before he had giant claws that he immediately used to stab you. But yeah, like we said, it's dumb.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and join our Google+ community.
Yeah, I'm trying to be more engaging on social media, if you all haven't noticed. I've got this great new app on my phone that lets me do some cool stuff with all our social stuff, except for Google+, which is kind of a bummer. But anyway, yeah, participate. I'm trying to do stuff. Tired?
He's got a yawn there for a second. Sorry. All right. What was I doing? Yeah, go to iTunes, you losers. All right.
I don't think you're losers.
I'm the bad cop. All
right. Yeah, everyone go see the Lego movie.
Yeah, sure. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. No, seriously, I love you. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye.